The Green Hornet. He hunts the biggest of all game, public enemies who try to destroy our America. With his faithful Filipino valet, Cato, Britt Reed, daring young publisher, matches wits with racketeers and saboteurs, risking his life that criminals and enemy spies will feel the weight of the law by the sting of the Green Hornet. Ride with Britt Reed in a thrilling adventure, The Female of the Species. The Green Hornet strikes again. Before our story, here's an important message. In Erie County, New York, there's a 1,500-acre strawberry crop that makes a substantial contribution to the war food needs. This year, it looked as though the crop would be lost because of a serious labor shortage. But a general appeal went out to the people for extra help, and the crop was saved. Folks, this is just one example of how America's men and women and boys and girls are pitching in to help the farmers. They need 4 million extra workers. And these workers will be paid prevailing wages for the amount and type of work they do. No matter how little time you have to spare, you'll be making a real contribution to the war effort if you volunteer for part-time work on a farm this year. So stand by for the local call. Do your part when the call for workers comes in your community. And now, the Green Hornet. Dr. Radner sat in his sumptuous office and looked with admiring eyes at the young and beautiful girl who sat opposite him. He was known throughout the city as a brilliant and successful physician, but to this girl he represented more than that. He was the personal representative of her country and leader of a well-organized subversive group who were desperately carrying on their secret work with the hope of turning back the tide of victory which was fast engulfing their homeland. Finally, Dr. Radner spoke.
Frida, you are one of our best agents in this country. It is for that reason that I have decided to give you a very important and perhaps very dangerous assignment.
Thank you for the compliment, Dr. Radner. You know I'm ready to do my utmost for our country and the Fuhrer.
I knew you'd be ready. And you're just the one to carry through to success the plan which I have in mind.
If you've decided to use me for this important mission, Doctor, please get to the point.
That's why you're so valuable to us, Frida. You don't mince words nor waste time. You're like a beautiful machine, cold and efficient. And yet I'm sure you could be, well, human under certain circumstances.
Please, Dr. Radner, I'm waiting for your orders.
Don't be impatient. I'm saying these things because it may be necessary for you to be charming in a feminine way to accomplish our plan. But now I'll get to the point.
I'm waiting.
Very well. It's been arranged for you to attend a reception at the British Consulate. There you will make it a point to meet a young American officer, Captain Perry Hartwell. Try to get him to make a luncheon or dinner engagement with you.
What is the necessity for that, Doctor?
I've learned through another agent that Captain Hartwell will be leaving shortly on a special mission to Allied headquarters in Normandy. You must find out why he is going and when.
I see. But, Doctor, if he is the type to be entrusted with such a mission, he would not be the type to give out information to anyone. I do not see how I could...
You are beautiful and smart. But by playing a naive part, you may be able to get him to talk.
If I'm ordered to take on this assignment, I'll do so, Doctor.
It's an order, Frida. And I must warn you, the captain, though young, is smart and level-headed. You must be very careful in your questioning and in your actions. Frida, remember, the future of our country is at stake. We must all take chances, big chances, to help defeat the Allies. Go now. Remember, you must not fail. Heil Hitler.
Heil Hitler.
In the afternoon, 2 days later, Michael Axford, would-be reporter on the Daily Sentinel and self-appointed bodyguard to Britt Reed, young publisher of the newspaper, was talking to Reed's secretary, Lenore Case.
Say now, Casey, if Reed's looking for me later, tell him I've gone on down to Moore's place to rent me some fancy clothes to wear to the reception tonight.
Oh, don't be silly, Axford. Why don't you wear just a dark suit?
Silly, is it? Me hobnobbing with British diplomats and a lot of generals and all. Sure, and I've got to be dressed decent to fit the occasion, that I do.
All right, do as you please, but if they take you for a waiter, don't say I didn't tell you.
Sure, and without even opening my mouth, they're liable to take me to be one of the diplomats.
And if you do open your mouth, they'll be certain that you aren't, Axford.
Ah, phooey. Now you just tell Reed what I told you, and never mind trying to tell me what to do.
Goodbye, Ambassador.
always be listening, that you are. And me, the guy who's liable to come back with the best story for the morning edition. You wait and see.
That evening, Axford attended the consulate reception and wandered aimlessly among the guests, waiting for a chance to interview the guest of honor, a visiting British official. As Axford entered the large drawing room, he noticed a tall young officer standing near the doorway and staring with frank admiration at a beautiful young girl seated nearby. She was apart from the other guests and seemingly lost in thought. Then, suddenly she rose, dropping her evening bag on the rug before her.
Sure now, young lady. I'll pick that up for you.
Oh, please allow me.
Sorry for bumping you, Captain. I got it. Here you are. Me foot.
Oh, sorry. Did I step on your foot?
Oh, sure, no. That was nothing at all. I have a bad corn that I have.
Here's your bag, Miss...
Thank you, Captain. You're very kind.
Oh, not at all. May I introduce myself? I'm Perry Hartwell.
Well, I suppose under the circumstances, Captain Hartwell, it's all right to give you my name. I'm Edna Lynette.
Oh, very pretty name, too. Edna Lynette. Yes, I like your name very much.
Oh, I'm glad you like it. Thank you again for retrieving my bag, Captain.
Say now, young lady, could you tell
Would it
me...
Would it be what... asking too much on such short acquaintance if I request a waltz with you out on the terrace, Miss Lynette?
Well, I really don't...
Come now, you're not thinking of turning me down.
All right, Captain. I see you're not one to be put off lightly.
We better hurry, then. The music may stop. I've been wanting to ask you all evening.
That dame stomped right on me foot on purpose. I'll bet on that. Sure, and I don't know what the younger generation's coming to when they get... Say, now. She went right off and left that bag after all, lying on the chair. Sure, and I can't go busting out with all them people dancing, so I'll keep it for her till she comes back. Oops! Glory be... Now I've got to pick off all them gadgets there. Oh, such a mess of junk women carry in their handbags. That they do. And little or no cash. There. A little slip of paper I didn't put in. Oh, well, now. What do you think of that? Captain Perry Hartwell, it says. Now, I wonder how she got that in there when I just heard her meet the guy. Oh, well, I'll go hunt up that guest of honor for an interview. Then I'll come back and give her this. The way she was looking at that young captain, she'll never miss it. I bet on that.
The following morning, Axford was talking to Lenore Case in the outer office when Britt Reed entered.
Good morning.
Well, good morning,
Hi, Reed. What's that you have there? Don't tell me you've taken up purse snatching, Axford.
Ah, sure, and I couldn't get more than a cup of coffee from what I found in this one.
I've been trying to get Axford to tell me who the lady was he was out with last night when he was supposed to be at that reception.
Now, Casey, don't be funny. You know I went to that reception. Didn't I get that interview that's in the morning edition?
Where did you get that evening bag, Axford?
Well, I'll tell you, Reed. Last night, some dame, a good looker she was, too, left it lying on a chair. I stuck it in me pocket and forgot all about it.
Well, let's see it.
Oh, nothing in it but a lot of junk, Reed. Face stuff and the like.
What's this? Captain Perry Hartwell.
Oh, that! I saw that paper with the printing on it, and I remember thinking how funny it was.
Funny? In what way, Axford?
Well, you see, Reed, the girl who owns the bag dropped it. Me and a young American officer both went over to pick it up for her.
You would.
Hush, Casey, hush. As I was saying, he introduced himself as Captain Hartwell, and then they went to dance, and she left her bag behind.
Strange that she should have his name already in her bag if he had to introduce himself to her.
No, that's just what I thought last night, Reed.
What was her name? Do you remember?
Edna something or other. Yes. Lynette. That was it.
A girl with a name like that's just the type to go around dropping her handbag in front of handsome young officers.
Now, there you go, being catty. No, she hadn't even noticed him up to that time.
That's what you think.
Say, I just noticed something else. His name is written, or rather printed, on the back of part of a doctor's prescription blank.
Say, no. I didn't notice that. Maybe we can find out from the doctor's office where this girl lives.
Well, there's only part of the doctor's name here. D-N-O-R-M-D. Well, the office address and phone number must have been in the corner of the missing half.
D-N-O-R. Well, Mr. Reed, I might look through the position classification in the back of the phone book for the doctor whose name ends with those letters.
Suppose you do, Miss Case. There won't be many names with that ending. And by elimination, we might locate the doctor and get the girl's address from him. It's an expensive bag and should be returned to its owner.
Well, I leave the bag here with you, Casey. I'll go on down to police headquarters and see what's doing, Reed. I'll see you later.
All right, Axford.
So long.
Just after dusk had fallen, a black sedan with two men in it moved up the avenue leading to the apartment house in which Captain Hartwell lived.
Fraulein Himmler's smart. I would be interested to know how she got the information that Captain Hartwell would be leaving tonight.
Well, Dr. Radner told me. It was simple for her. Why, even the best man can't cope with a clever woman, Carl.
Tell me how she found out, Carl.
She met the captain last night. He was charmed by her beauty. She managed to get him to invite her to lunch today. Then she told him she'd like to give a dinner party for him soon.
Well?
Well, he said he wouldn't be able to attend such a dinner. He'd be out of town. Then she tried to pin him down to accepting a dinner date before he left town. He said lightly that he'd like to have been able to go to such a party, but that since he hadn't met her until last night, it would be impossible.
So Edna thinks that means the captain's leaving tonight, hmm?
Why, yes, it's evident. Because Frieda was convinced that he was very much infatuated with her. That if it were in any way possible, he'd jump at the chance of seeing her again. But he didn't ask to see her again, which means he can't do so. Therefore, he must be leaving tonight.
I see.
Oh, stop, Carl. We can watch the entrance from here.
There's a taxi waiting there right now, Mark.
Well, perhaps we weren't any too soon. We shall see.
Now, look. There's a man in uniform coming out.
Wait till he gets under the light. Yes, he fits the description Frieda gave me. Tall, dark. He's in officer's uniform. Carl, that's Captain Hartwell, all right. Get going, Carl.
If he's going to the military airport, they should turn into the river road at the next corner.
Yes. Look, they're turning. Now step on it. We mustn't lose sight of that cab.
Hey, Captain, I gotta do what they say. I gotta.
Hey, what's the meaning of this?
You'll soon find out, Captain Hartwell.
So that's it, huh?
Hey, you punks can't stop my cab like this.
I'll sucker your cab driver while you dirty
me,
rat.
Carl. Use your gun, Mark.
No, we have orders to break him in alive.
Not while I have the breath
this
to...
quiet him.
Quick, Carl. We must get him into our car before somebody comes along. Here, help me.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, Mark, I'll drive this car behind while you drive that cab with the driver up the road a bit and over the bank into the river. After that, we'll take this Captain Hartwell to Dr. Radner's place. The captain will wish he'd used a gun on him before Radner gets through with him tonight.
We'll continue our Green Hornet adventure in just a minute. Would you women listeners like to feel that you're really a part of this war, that you're an actual member of the great American team moving against the Nazis and the Japs? You can have this satisfaction if you join the Navy's Waves, For each one of the 67,250 women now on active duty are helping to bring the battle to a victorious finish. Waves are helping to send the fleet its ships, its trained personnel, its armament, equipment, and food. Their jobs are as varied as the jobs of all Navy personnel, and each one is essential to the smooth running of our great fleets. If you're not working at an essential war job, serve your country where you're needed most by joining the Waves. Write today to Waves, Washington 25, D.C., for the story of you in Navy Blue. And now, back to our story. A short time after the young captain had been waylaid by the two Nazi agents, Britt Reed was talking to his secretary, Miss Case, in his office at the Sentinel building.
I'm sorry to keep you later than usual, Miss Case, but those letters were important.
Oh, it's all right, Mr. Reed. I finished all of them, so I'll be able to leave now.
Good. By the way, did you run into much difficulty trying to locate the doctor?
Doctor?
Oh, you know, the one who might be able to tell you where to contact the owner of the evening bag Axford picked up?
Oh, well, yes, I did have difficulty. There were two physicians listed whose names ended with the letters D-N-O-R. One was Dr. Ledner, and the other was a Dr. Radner. I called them both.
Well, what was the result?
Ledner said he couldn't recall a patient by the name of Edna Lynette, but that he'd look in his files. So I waited, and when he came back to the phone, he said he had no such patient.
How about the other one?
Dr. Radner told me immediately that he had no such patient. When I asked him if he were sure, he was quite put out about it and hung up.
I see. Well, we'll advertise the bag in the Lost and Found column tomorrow. I guess you'd better go along home now.
All right. I'll see you in the morning. Good night.
Good night, Miss Case. Well, I might as well go along home, too. I didn't realize that it was... Hello?
Hello, Reed. This is Axford speaking.
Yes, I know. What's up, Axford?
Plenty, Reed. But it's something you can't print yet. That's why I'm calling you instead of the rewrite.
Something we can't put into print? What is it?
Well, Sarge got a tip-off from Inspector Martin of the Federal Bureau to start a search for an army officer who disappeared.
Disappeared, eh?
Yeah. He was supposed to take a cab to the military airport to catch a plane. He never arrived. A checkup of the taxi companies showed that one of them sent a cab out for him. The cab and driver were just found in the river.
It's bad. And there was no trace of the officer?
No, not a sign of him.
Maybe if they dragged the river for him, they might...
Reed, Sarge says it wasn't any accident. The driver had a bullet hole in his head.
Murdered, eh?
That's right. And wait till you hear this, Reed. The officer who's missing is none other than that young guy I saw last night. That nice-looking chap who went to dance with the young girl who owns the evening bag. Remember? His name is Captain Perry Hartwell. Now, what do you think of that?
Well, I must say that's very startling news, Axford. If you hear anything more, give me a ring.
Okay, Reed. So long.
Goodbye, Axford. I believe the captain was on army business of some kind. It sounds very much as it might be the work of foreign agents. I'd like to... That girl. I have a feeling that she might know something that would be of interest about this. This is a case that needs a quick solution. Perhaps the Green Hornet can help solve it in a hurry.
Leaving the Sentinel office building, Britt Reed went to his apartment where Cato, his faithful Filipino valet, and the only person knowing his identity as the Green Hornet, was waiting. And soon they were driving through the city streets in the Black Beauty.
Where we go, Mr. Britt?
To the office of a Dr. Radner, Cato. I looked up the address. It's in the next block on this street.
Perhaps girl just pick up blank someplace and print name on it.
I believe a doctor gave that slip to the Lynette girl, and that he was the person who printed Captain Harpo's name on it for some reason. Stop in those shadows ahead, Cato.
What do you expect to find?
I want to look in Radner's files and see if that girl is listed as a patient. That way I might get her address and, through her, a clue to the men who waylaid Hartwell. Wait here. I won't be long.
Moving quickly and keeping close to the buildings, Britt Reed soon entered the entrance to the building in which Dr. Radner had his office. Using a stairway to escape notice, he found the office door on the second floor. With the aid of a special master key, effected an entrance into the darkened anteroom.
That must be the secretary's desk. I'll have a look around with this flashlight. There's a filing cabinet over there.
Now, look through the patients listed under the L's. L-A... L-A-N. Nothing there on Lynette. Well, I guess this Dr. Radner spoke the truth after all. Well, my hunch was pretty strong that... Uh-oh. Somebody must think the doctor stays here late. I'd better let it ring. It might be that somebody expected him to be here. I'll take a chance. First, I'll put this handkerchief over the mouthpiece. Hello?
This is Frieda, Dr. Radner. I've been waiting to hear from you. You said you'd call me.
Did I?
Of course you did. You promised to call me as soon as you left the depot. You must have finished with him since you returned there. I'm anxious to know what happened and what you did to him.
Suppose I tell you somebody phoned here today and asked for Edna Lynette.
Well, you told me that this afternoon, Doctor.
Oh, yes.
What come over you, Doctor? I can't hear you very well. You sound muffled. And why have you forgotten about what you told me about that inquiry?
I want to get in touch with Edna Lynette. Her file card has been misplaced somehow.
But, Doctor, are you joking? You yourself gave me that name, and now you... You aren't Dr. Radner.
Hello. Hello. So that's it. Though she called herself Frieda, she was also known as Edna Lynette. And Dr. Radner is implicated, but definitely.
Why you have me drive out River Road when you say girl say doctor should be at depot, Mr. Britt?
Cato, it stands to reason. If I'm really on the track of the men who took Hartwell, I think I am. They wouldn't dare appear at the railroad depot with the captain in their custody, since the entire city is being searched.
Then would depot tell you something else?
Yes, Cato. You recall there's an old deserted freight depot which hasn't been used for many years out here about 2 miles from the city. I believe that's the hideout of the men who have Hartwell. I'm hoping we'll be in time. That girl will find some way to warn them, and they may do away with Hartwell. Step on it, Cato. There's no time to lose.
Meantime, Axford was riding in a squad car with Sergeant Burke and his driver. They had gone out to view the scene where the car had gone over the bank and were returning to the city.
It sure is a puzzle, Axford. It was tough on that cab driver, poor guy.
Yeah, but what about the young captain? I'm telling you, Sarge, if the cops don't pick up a clue soon, maybe there won't be any use trying it.
Great day in the morning. Look at that speed devil go. Cassidy, stop and turn around. That's one speed demon we're going to follow until we catch him, if it takes all night.
In the basement of the old freight depot, which had been fixed over as headquarters for the Nazi foreign agents, Dr. Radner, with his two operatives, Carl and Mark, stood staring down at Captain Hartwell. His wrists and ankles were tightly bound to a heavy chair. Though beads of perspiration stood out on his forehead and red welts showed across his cheeks, he stared back at them defiantly.
Well, Captain, up to now you have tried our patience. We have been lenient with you. From now on, we shall be more severe in our treatment if you do not cooperate with us.
Go to the devil, Nazi.
Maybe we won't get you to talk, but at least we'll see that you're silenced once and for all. Mark, take your gun and...
The signal, Dr. Radner. Must be Frieda.
Let her in, Carl.
Dr. Radner, it's a good thing I live close to here. I drove over in a big hurry. Something has gone wrong.
Why, what do you mean?
What's the matter, Frieda?
Wait. I thought I knew that voice. I couldn't see well at first, but you, Edna. So that's how this came about.
Quiet, you fool. Go on, Frieda. What's happened?
Did you have to hit him like that?
Frieda, answer the question. What happened?
I called your office and somebody answered the phone. I thought it was you at first, and I mentioned the depot. If they should find out that...
Little fool!
I've taken a lot from you, Dr. Radner. But that I won't take.
Frieda, put down that gun.
What's come over you, Frieda?
I betrayed Captain Hartwell, the first man who ever treated me with kindness and consideration. But he's unconscious from your blow, Carl, so he can't hear me. Well, I've had enough of your Nazi culture. Enough, do you hear?
Frieda, stop this at once.
I won't back down now, Doctor.
You don't know what you're doing. He could never mean anything to you. He wouldn't repent.
I have no false hope, Dr. Radner. But I can do one decent thing in my life before it's too late. And that is to see that you do not harm Captain Hartwell.
Mark Carl, get her gun.
Yeah.
No! No!
I have it, Radner.
And I'll hold her, Doctor.
Good. Now let's get on with our work. You heard what she said. We must finish here and get out quickly. Mark, take your gun and eliminate Hartwell.
Very good, Radner.
No! Stop it! I won't let you!
Now hurry, Mark. This vile head. Oh, she bit my arm!
Shoot, Mark.
No, Mark, no!
Mark. She ran in front of him. She shot.
Hold it, Nutley.
A mask man.
The Green Hornet. Shoot him, Mark. The lights. Somebody turned out the lights. We fight better in dark.
Get to the door. Get to the door.
Oh, no, you don't. Take a Nazi.
Gas. I gas gun.
I find other ones soon. No, wait. I give up. I give up, Green Hornet.
Oh, there you are. Take your share of this.
No. Yes, I give.
Switch on the lights, quick.
There. Lights on now.
There's a man in the captain's uniform tied to that chair. That's Hartwell, all right. The girl at his feet. She must be... Let's see.
Girl killed, baby.
Well, she's been shot through the shoulder. She'll come around, all right. Untie Captain Hart.
People come. Maybe police.
Quick, there's another door out over there. There'll be some way out through that other room. Come on.
Glory be, look. Great Saint Serge, there in the chair, tied hand and foot. It's Captain Hartwell himself.
Hartwell? Well, ain't that something. Get him loose, Cassidy, and be quick about it.
Yes, sir.
Who's the girl? Looks like she's hurt.
Say no. That's the girl I saw at the reception. Edna Lynette. And Sarge, them guys must be the ones who killed the taxi driver and snatched Hartwell.
Well, what's happened?
Take it easy, lad. You'll be all right now.
The Nazi agents are... Oh, you've got them.
Sure, you're safe. And your little lady friend, too.
Lady friend?
Look, there's your feet.
Edna Lynette. Well, she's one of them.
Yeah? Well, whatever she is, son, you owe her a vote of thanks. We found her slumped there in front of you with her arms spread out like she was shielding you. And a bullet wound in the back of her shoulder.
Then she saved my life. Is she...
No, she'll be all right in time. So she's a spy, huh?
Yeah. Second Mata Hari, in a way.
Sure, and I thought that she was a Nazi like the others.
Shut up, you dimwit. Mata Hari was the name of a famous German spy in the last war.
Oh.
Say, who did all this to these Nazis, Captain?
It must have been she. But I don't know how she did it by herself.
The female of the species is more deadly than the male. Maybe for saving your life and all, the courts will go easy on her.
Hey, look on the forehead of each one of them.
For man alive. For the devil himself did all this.
What do you mean, Sergeant?
I mean it was none other than that disappearing wonder, the Green Hornet himself.
Purchase of war bonds is not a get-rich-quick scheme, but it is a get-rich-safely scheme. You get back $4 for every $3 invested, and at that rate, it doesn't take long to salt away a good-sized nest egg. Just forget for a moment the patriotic reasons for buying war bonds and concentrate on what you yourself can get out of an investment of this kind. In the first place, the civilian goods market is pretty lean these days. Add to this the fact that there's more money around than ever before. Therefore, instead of trying to buy up these scarce goods and consequently raising prices, put the money away in war bonds where it will earn extra money for you and help to safeguard your post-war financial security. Put your money into war bonds right now and get back $4 for three. It's the best buy in the country today. Be sure to listen to the Green Hornet next week at this same time. These copyrighted dramas originate in the studios of WXYZ Detroit. All characters, names, places, and incidents are fictitious. Bob Height speaking. This is the Blue Network.